The last two Sundays, we looked at the very first part of the Apostles' Creed where it says, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. This first faith statement has to do with who we know and understand to be God the Father. He is almighty, and he created the heavens and the earth. And as Pastor Okura said last Sunday, the Bible is written on the premise that this God is almighty. And the opening words of the Bible, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, are a preliminary statement that what follows in this book is the interwoven record of God Almighty and human beings. As we move on to the next faith statement, please keep this in mind. In fact, we cannot talk about Jesus Christ, who is central to the whole middle section of the Apostles' Creed, without understanding the interwoven record of God Almighty and human beings. This section, which has to do with who we know and understand to be Jesus Christ, is the longest part of the Apostles' Creed. We will look at this section by breaking it down into seven segments. Jesus as the Son of God, his birth, his suffering and crucifixion, his resurrection from the dead, his ascension into heaven, his return, and his judgment. So today we will focus on the part of the Apostles' Creed that says, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, Jesus. We believe in Jesus, a real historical person. If we were to consider a single individual throughout history that has been talked about the most, it would be Jesus. There have been enough books written about him that could fill hundreds of libraries. There are museums all over the world that are filled with paintings of him. There are thousands of songs in various languages written about him to honor him. Many people have died as martyrs to share the truth concerning who Jesus is. Hospitals, orphanages, schools, and relief and care organizations have been established because of him. Christians throughout the world yearly celebrate his birth, his death, and his resurrection. Yes, Jesus lived on this earth, and we are truly blessed because of him. And like all of us, he was given a name. In the Bible, the name of each person is very significant. Their names were often tied to their calling or purpose or character. Thus, it is no coincidence that Jesus was named Jesus. Actually, he was named Yeshua. Yeshua is the Hebrew name, and its English spelling is Joshua. Jesus is the Greek transliteration of the Hebrew name, and its English spelling is Jesus. The Japanese Yesu is closer to the actual pronunciation of the Greek transliteration. Thus, in English, Joshua and Jesus, name-wise, are essentially the same. Yeshua means the Lord is salvation. And this name was given to him by God through an angel that spoke to Joseph, who was to be his earthly father. Matthew 1:21, the angel speaks and he says, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So given his name, Jesus is indeed the Savior and Lord of the world. He came to save us from the wages of sin, which is death. Thus, he paid for the wages of our sin by going to the cross to die in our stead. He came into this world for the purpose of bringing about our salvation. Christ. Christ is not Jesus's last name, okay? Christ is the Greek wording for what is Messiah in Hebrew. And it means anointed one. In the Bible, it is a special designation for a particular person who has to be anointed, especially chosen by God to save the Israelites, who are God's chosen people, as well as all humanity. So when we say Jesus Christ, we are affirming that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, our Savior. All throughout the New Testament, it points to Jesus Christ, or Jesus as being the Christ. In fact, the very beginning of the New Testament records the genealogy of Jesus, and the first verse begins this way: "The record of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham." If you have read the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, then you will know who David and Abraham are, and thus understand Jesus' relationship in reference to them. The Gospel of Mark in the New Testament begins this way: "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." In fact, when you look at what are known as the epistles, letters in the New Testament, particularly all of them begin with the acknowledgement of Jesus as being the Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1:1, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jude 1:1, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are the called, beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants, the things which must soon take place, and he sent and communicated by his angel to his bondservant, John. You can see that the New Testament makes it clear that Jesus is the Christ. But some may ask, did Jesus himself realize and acknowledge that he was the Christ? The answer to that question is yes. In the Gospel of Luke, the following is recorded of Jesus in his hometown of Nazareth at the beginning of his public ministry. Luke chapter 4, 16 through 21. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Having read from Isaiah 61, a passage that described the work of the promised Messiah, Jesus then declared to those who were with him in the synagogue, "Today, the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." He was clearly stating to his audience that he is the fulfillment of that prophecy. When you read the details of Jesus's life and compare it to the prophecies given of the Messiah in the Old Testament, you cannot help but believe and understand that Jesus is indeed the Savior and the promised anointed one sent by God the Father, God's only Son. Not only do we believe that Jesus is the Christ, but we believe that he is God's only Son. What do we mean by declaring our faith in Jesus as being God's only Son? As I mentioned two Sundays ago, we believe in a triune God who is one but made up of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As such, we understand that all three persons of the triune God were involved with the creation of the heavens and the earth. The term triune God or Trinity is not found in the Bible. However, we understand God as being so through the Bible, which records his words concerning his creation and about himself. The oneness of God is made clear in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These verses are very well known by faithful Jews who recite this as part of what is referred to as the Shema twice every day. It highlights the monotheistic essence of Judaism and expresses a commitment to remember and keep God's commandments. Thus, we understand God to be one. At the same time, we come to the understanding that the triune nature of God from how he created us human beings and through other passages of Scripture, and especially through Jesus's life and teachings. In Genesis, the Hebrew word translated God Elohim is a plural noun. In Genesis, the creation of us human beings is described. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. There is an obvious dialogue that took place in making Adam and Eve the first human beings. Interestingly, the Bible does not record God saying, let me make man in my image according to my likeness, but says us and our. Concerning God's only son, we find references to him in the Old Testament in passages such as the following one, Psalm chapter 2. Why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against the anointed, his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs, the Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, but as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance and the very ends of the earth as your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that he not become angry, and you perish in the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. This is a messianic prophecy that also mentions the Son of God. In the New Testament, we see John the Baptist's clear attestation to Jesus Christ being the Son of God. John chapter 1, 29 to 34. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who is a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. I did not recognize him. But so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. John testified saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. There are also two occasions in which Jesus' disciples heard a voice out of the heavens say concerning him, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Yet again, we must ask the question of how Jesus saw himself. Did he acknowledge and declare that he was the Son of God? Listen to the following words of Jesus and make your own judgment. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." He also said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me?" The Jews answered him, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God." As can be seen in this second passage of Scripture, Jesus' claim to be the Son of God was not lost among his hearers. So can you see that Jesus Christ also claimed to be the Son of God and that his followers believed in him as such? Our Lord. We also believe and declare Jesus to be our Lord. What does it mean to believe in Jesus as our Lord? The Apostle Paul shared how a person can be saved in Romans 10, 9 through 13. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, "Whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." In the early church, the phrase "Jesus is Lord" was one of the most common and simple expressions by which believers confessed their faith in Christ. In the Roman world, faithful citizens were increasingly being expected to acknowledge that Caesar was Lord or divine. So the original recipients of this letter had to face the issue of who really is divine, Jesus or Caesar. In other words, to confess Jesus as Lord meant recognizing Jesus as God. Therefore, the confession of faith in Jesus that is mentioned here has to do with the fact that he is God. For no human being who is sinful and mortal could save mankind from the wrath of God. When we believe in Jesus, we believe that he is Lord, that is God. And as such, he is our Savior from the consequences of sin, which is death. Through faith in Jesus as our Lord, we are given eternal life together with him. And if we truly believe that Jesus is Lord, then we would have no problem trusting in him, because with God, all things are possible. Many years ago, Josh McDowell wrote a book titled More Than a Carpenter. At the conclusion of the book, he said that there were basically only three options for us as it related to our conclusion as to who Jesus is. He's either a lunatic, a liar, or Lord. He would be a lunatic if he claimed to be God but was not. For there are many people in an insane asylum that profess to be a God. He would be a liar if he claimed to be God, but knew he was not. However, if he claimed to be God and he really is God, then he is indeed our Lord. Many people consider Jesus to be a good moral person, but don't believe that he is the Son of God. Many people also consider Jesus to be a good teacher, but don't believe that he is the Son of God. If Jesus was a liar and said false things about himself, then he could not be considered a good moral person or a good teacher. Jesus is either the Son of God as he claimed he was, or he is a lunatic or a liar. There are no other options. Of course, we believe that Jesus is Lord. So every Sunday, as part of our reciting of the Apostles' Creed, we declare, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. In declaring these things, we are professing faith in Jesus as being the promised Christ and God's only Son, our Lord, sent by God the Father to save us. And we come together every Sunday to offer worship to God, praising and thanking Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, for saving us and giving us eternal life. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. お祈りしましょう. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, 恵み深い父なる神様, we indeed give praise to you. 私たちは実に神様に賛美を捧げます. We thank you that in your love you have sent Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord, into this world to save us. あなたの愛により私たちを救うためにあなたの一人子私たちの主イエスキリストをこの世に送ってくださったことを感謝いたします. Jesus, you said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. イエス様、あなた様は言われました。私は世の光である。私に従って来る者は闇の内を歩くことがなく、命の光を持つであろう。In faith, please help us to walk in your light and share your light with those around us. どうか信仰によりイエス様の光のうちに歩みイエス様の光を周りの人々と分かち合うことができるようにどうか私たちを助けてください。 We thank you for giving us life that is both abundant and eternal through your Son Jesus Christ.あなたの御子イエス・キリストを通して豊かで永遠の命を与えてくださることを感謝します。We pray this in Jesus' holy name. イエス様の聖なる御名によって祈ります。アメン。